Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. And today I have the pleasure of interviewing a young lady, a little girl, someone who's just, she's a full adult, accomplished woman of God and a leader in Encounter Ministries. Her name is Danielle Curl. And I started the way I did because I first knew her when she was just a young lady. And so today on the program, I'm going to be interviewing her and talk about growing in faith, growing in the Spirit, and being part of the great work of Encounter Ministries. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. Let me just first say hi to Danielle. Hey, Danielle, how are you?
Hi, Tom. It's good to be here with you.
See, now you've done it for the second time, folks. I said something to her when I was calling to arrange the interview that was it was funny. It made you laugh, Danielle. What did I actually say to you?
He said, this is the first time you've ever called me by my first name. And I guess that's true.
Yes, that is true. I think we first met probably in like when did you guys move to the Federal Way area? Do you even remember?
I really don't.
Late 90s? I think it was the late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've known each other since the second millennium. That's how long we've known each other, Danielle. But you were just a young lady and your mom and dad, dear friends of ours while we lived in Federal Way, and loved them very much. And so just to see the way that you've grown in faith and grown as a young woman of faith, a young adult full of faith, it's been delightful. I've been able to just catch little glimpses of your own career, your own attempt to follow the Lord. And I'm excited to have you on. In fact, I'm going to just say, be led by the Spirit. Danielle, would you open our program in prayer?
Absolutely. Let's begin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for being here with us. We know that where two or more are gathered in your name, that you are there in their midst. And we just thank you for being here with us today and for all of the listeners who are tuning in right now. We ask you to bless our conversation, bless Tom, bless myself, and bless all who are listening. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Danielle, I got a call from Ron Belter, the general manager of Sacred Heart Radio, and he said, hey, I want you to introduce this woman. She's in leadership of Encounter Ministries to talk about Encounter Ministries and this upcoming summer intensive they have going on at Holy Family in Kirkland. And her name is Danielle Curl. And I just laughed. I said, oh, this is going to be a delight. And for me, it's delightful because, again, when I first knew you, you were just really, truly just a young lady, a young girl. And now here you are, and you've been on really an amazing journey where here you are having devoted yourself as a young adult to the work of ministry. And so for folks who aren't aware, I'd love to give you a chance to just tell people about yourself a bit in your own journey of following the Lord.
Oh, of course. I grew up Catholic, and my parents both very faithful Catholics, and I just had such a wonderful opportunity to get to know Christ from a young age. And I had a moment initially in college, my study was actually dance. I was a dance major in college, and that only lasted about a semester, and I ended up going to community college for a while to kind of figure out what I want to do. And I'll never forget, I was in this humanities course and we were talking about religion. And it was a classroom conversation about whether or not there was anything after death. And everyone in the room agreed that there was nothing. And I will never forget the impact that had on me, because I knew that I disagreed, but I didn't know enough about my faith to enter into the conversation. I just knew that that's what I believed, that God was real and that heaven was real, and that we were loved by our Creator. And I went home and I cried because I felt like I had failed God somehow, and or really missed an opportunity to evangelize. And from that moment, I knew I really wanted to study theology. I wanted to be able to not just believe, but understand my faith in a way that I was able to enter into conversation about it to help people who didn't grow up the same way that I did, who came from different backgrounds. So I ended up studying theology. I got my undergrad and my master's. I am actually going to be starting my doctorate degree in the fall with Franciscan University. And I have just so loved my whole career being in ministry. I've been in parish life, I've been in Catholic school system, and just being able to share the beauty and the grace that's offered to us through our faith.
You know, Danielle, one of the things you said that jumped out at me was that it was when your faith was challenged, it was when it was tested, that all of a sudden what went from being something that was maybe like it was there in orbit in your life, all of a sudden there was this pressure testing, and it was, is this going to be the rock I stand on, or is it going to just fling out of orbit and I'll just move on without faith? And you were in the midst of like an environment that may not have been very easy for you, right? Being surrounded by peers and wise older teachers proposing something. And now here you are saying, now, wait a minute, Jesus, are you real or not? And if you're real, then you have to be my everything. That's a very powerful story.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a real turning point for me. I feel like God used that moment of difficulty to propel me into the path that I was supposed to be on. And I've never looked back. It's been wonderful.
Okay, so now what is interesting to me, Danielle, is that you pursued theology with vigor, right? Bachelor's degree, master's degree, now pursuing a doctorate. That's not the ordinary path, right? That's pretty rare air that you're in. And in that path, it can often be the case that folks who have the tendency and the personality and the commitment to study theology can often be heady, right? The focus can be on, let's call it abstract theology. And and yet I'm here talking to you not about like a doctrine of the church. I'm not here talking to you about the history of some teaching of the church. I'm here talking with you today about a movement that is being discerned as a movement of God, where the Holy Spirit is coming with power and manifesting breakthroughs into people's lives through life-changing, transformative encounters with the healing, saving, miracle-working power of the living God. That, I'm not sure you've had many theology classes on that.
No. In fact, when I entered Encounters of Ministry here in Seattle for my first year, I did it really begrudgingly because I thought, I've already got my master's degree. I'm not sure what else I can really learn. Talk about hubris, right? Talk about pride. But I was younger then. But I started the school and I ended up, I was hearing things that I had never heard through my university schooling. And these were things like, what does it mean to be a child of God, really? Outside of just that phrase being comforting, what does that really mean? And what does hearing the voice of God practically look like? And are miracles still happening today? And the teachers there at Encounter really dove deeply into these topics, and I found them incredibly challenging, especially because I didn't learn about them in university. But it's coming at theology from another angle, from an active apostolic lifestyle that may not come up in your theology books.
No, that's a great point. It's funny when my wife Carrie and I, when we were dating and we were talking about how does conversion happen and how does evangelization happen? And it was, I came at it from kind of a, let's call it a more traditional approach, which is you have that intimate, personal, profound, life-changing encounter with Christ in prayer and in community. And then you feel the dynamism to go out into the world and there proclaim the good news. Kerry was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Where you begin with your life of faith is out on the front lines. You begin as a witness, testifying to Christ, preaching Jesus, expecting God to move. And then that drives you back into community where you experience the desire for conversion and to go deeper into the heart of God. And so it's this fascinating, let's call it the two poles, the pole of communion and the pole of mission, the pole of identity and the goal of purpose, the pole of know who you are, and then that pole of being dynamically and powerfully sent out into the world. And so it's the answer is who was right? Well, the answer is yes, right? The answer is yes. There are both dimensions to our life of faith, but to be honest and to be let's be pragmatic about it, where is most of the energy in our lives of faith happening today? It's not at that point of contact with the world where we're called to be salt, light, and leaven, and to be moving to proclaim the gospel in word and deed and with an expectation of signs and wonders and deeds of power. It's like that dimension of living our life of faith. You might hear like, oh, a homily on it now and again, or, oh, we need to be out in the world making a difference. But this sense of, I must proclaim the gospel. I can't wait to go to that party because God is going to move with a dramatic encounter and I'm going to be this vessel, this instrument. I can't wait. Let's go, Lord. Right? That's not typical Catholicism, sadly.
It's so true. Yeah, I meet a lot of Catholics in working in ministry, and I would say probably 90% of them think, I don't have any idea how to share my faith in daily life. I come to Mass and I do everything that I'm supposed to do, and I really do love the Lord, and I really do want to share my faith even, but I don't know how, and I don't know why God would choose me as his vessel. Often that's the biggest thing. Like, surely there are other people who are more skilled than me that can go out and share this message, but I just don't have the words. That's often what I hear. But I think the truth is that the Holy Spirit works in each and every one of us. And God works through us just as we are, just where we are, and exactly through our own personalities. And Tom, you'll be able to reach people that I won't resonate with. And I might be able to reach people that you might not resonate with because we're different. We're different people and we operate in different spheres and we have different gifts. And God, I think, does that on purpose.
You know, Danielle, again, I'm talking with Danielle Curl. She's here talking about Encounter Ministries, and there's a beautiful summer intensive coming up. Folks, it'll change your life. I have a couple of quick stories to share, Danielle, and I'm going to weave them into our conversation. The first is, here, I'm going to share with you what will happen as a result of going to Encounter. Okay, folks, here, this will be here's a fruit of going to Encounter. It's the difference between going to a party and saying, Lord, okay, I'm your disciple and I'm open to share. If you give me some sign, give me a sign, Lord, and I'm open to share and engage. If you give me a sign, that's what you'll be like going in. On the way out, it'll be, I'm going to a party. Lord, I'm going to say something unless you stop me. So, Lord, my expectation is I am there. I am being deployed. I am there on a mission. And there will be people that I'm going to talk to. And potentially, there's going to be a profound, life-changing encounter. And so, Lord, I'm going to say something unless you stop me. Not, I'm willing to say something if you give me a sign. Do you see the difference between the two, Danielle?
I do, and it's very true. When the Holy Spirit stirs you up, you really get excited about just being available to people, about sharing that peace and joy that you've been given. And so I feel that very much coming out of Encounter now and teaching for them currently. It's so true. You just go out with the expectation that I might be praying with strangers today. And it's amazing. I've had so many encounters that God has just put people in my path. And because of the school and because of the practice in class where it's safe, I'm able to kind of step out into the world and take these risks and say, can I pray for you? And learn how to do it right there in the moment. And that is so powerful, being able to just pray on the spot. I think, Tom, as Catholics, we're wonderful at praying our rosary. We're wonderful with our devotions, and those are good and beautiful things. Where I think we have room for improvement is that spontaneous prayer that's offered for the need that God puts in front of you right at that moment. And that's one of the things that I think is most valuable that you learn coming out of encounter.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Yeah, and so Danielle, I want to dig into this further, right? Because folks, when you can experience this release of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the dynamism that enters your life of faith, when you experience what's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we have an expectation, this sense of alertness, this sense of even zeal to be available to the Lord and his Holy Spirit to lead you in according with his gifts. Right? I used a lot of language there, but brothers and sisters, what I'm talking about is a life where you will grow in holiness. It'll be anointed. There'll be this sense of flowing in your own growth in holiness as a child of God, knowing your identity. And you'll also grow with that sense of moving with power, moving with confidence, to be able to speak a word or minister, that this is what God has for you. This is not something that is, this is so extraordinary and set apart for priests, religious, and full-time professionals. No, this is ordinary Christianity. You called it apostolic Christianity, Danielle. And brothers and sisters, this is a time when the Lord is calling and raising up his church to recover what we have lost. We have lost that sense of moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a Catholic thing. This is a powerful way of living life with a tremendous sense of excitement. Really, I mean, it's a tremendous sense of, wow, what's today going to bring, right? I love that. I love that, Danielle. Just comment about, I want you to, as you're doing this, introduce them a bit more to what encounter is. We've been using the word encounter, brothers and sisters, but I want Danielle to talk a bit about encounter so that if you're listening, you'll understand more about, like, well, what is this? Is it a retreat? Is it a conference? Is it a class? How does it work? Where does it happen? And how do I get involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. Encounter School of Ministry is an organization that started out in Michigan that has spread throughout the world, actually. And Seattle, Encounter School of Ministry Seattle, is a satellite school off of that main campus. And we exist to help train disciples of Christ to be active in the Holy Spirit, to be able to learn to hear God's voice in a way that is really certain, that you're learning discernment, that you're able to understand what does it mean to be a child of God. And more than just in a, like I said at the beginning, more than just in a, I'm a child of God and I should be comforted by that. But what does that really mean? A little insight into what you'll learn at Encounter is that we have this access to an open heaven, that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the first installment of our inheritance. The first installment, that's a pretty huge gift. And it suggests that what we have access to is enormous. The power of God is with us. And so when you truly understand who you are and start to break down the barriers to really believing it, then you're going to be able to step into a lifestyle of discipleship, of really living like a follower of Christ. And Jesus said that followers of Christ will be able to do the things that he did and better and bigger. So why aren't we seeing that? I think the Encounter School of Ministry really answers that question, that we have to, first of all, dive into our identity and then move into learning to hear God's voice. And from there, we start to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have seen amazing things at Encounter, things that I, as you mentioned, sometimes when you go through school for theology, as I have, you start to get a little heady, you start to get a little intellectual. It can be a little bit difficult to step out in faith, I would say. I've seen that in myself, and I've seen that in my colleagues. But when you have the Holy Spirit in you, God is not bound by your expectations. He goes above and beyond them. And so what we have found at Encounter is that our students come in one way and they leave totally transformed by God. And it has nothing to do with us as our teachers or leadership. You know, we just teach the content. And what I love about Encounter is that it is truly grounded in scripture and Catholic tradition. That was so important to me when I was a student. And I kept saying, the moment they step out of line and say something that's not true, that's not in Catholic teaching, that's not in the Bible, I am out of here. I was very skeptical as a student because they were saying the Holy Spirit still operates and you can still see signs and wonders today and you can be God's vessel for these things. And I thought to myself, surely if that were true, we'd see that. We'd see more of it. But I think what's truly needed in our church today, Tom, is people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who have a real understanding of their identity as Catholic Christians and what that truly means. We love talking about scripture. We love talking about theology in a kind of feel-good way. But sometimes what's missing is this practical aspect, in my opinion. Encounter brings it all into your daily life. And my favorite question to ask is, but what does that mean? Somebody will say something really profound or really heady, and I like to come back, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, break that down for me. What does that mean for Danielle Monday through Sunday? You know, how am I supposed to take that into my life? And Encounter does that brilliantly. So I just highly encourage anyone who is feeling called, like, I really want to live my faith out loud. I really want to grow in my faith. Or even people who think, gosh, I don't know really if I'm fit for this kind of thing, but I really want to kind of see what this is about. I would encourage you to come to a couple classes, come to the summer intensive happening in August. And what you'll find at the summer intensive is we're going to be going through the first year. Encounter is a 2-year certification, and the summer intensive goes through the first year. So we talk about identity. We talk about hearing God's voice, hearing the prophetic gifts. We talk about physical healing. Does that still happen? It does. It really does. I've seen it. And I was the biggest skeptic of all time so far that I've seen at Encounter. I was the biggest skeptic. But we also see a lot of inner healing, which is one of my favorite things. Seeing people come in with broken hearts and leaving with God's love and mercy on a journey towards complete healing. That has been incredible to witness. And I really desire that for everyone.
So folks, that's Danielle Curl talking with you today about Encounter Ministries. I do encourage you to go to the website, encounterministries.us. Encounter Ministries, that's plural, IES, encounterministries.us. And there you'll see and have access to the page of events, and you'll notice the list for the upcoming summer intensive happening at Holy Family Catholic Church in Kirkland. It's a new center for where Encounter Ministries is going to be offering events like the summer intensive. And that's happening at the end of July, beginning of August. I think it's is it August 1st and 2nd? July 31st, August 1st and 2nd?
August 1st through 2nd.
August 1st and 2nd. And so Folks, I encourage you to go and check out the website. And I'll be talking about this more in weeks to come. In fact, Danielle, I'll have you on again to be able to explore more fully some of what happens at Encounter. And just as another encouragement, folks, for you to really and truly engage in this great gift of having the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit transform who you are and how you live your life of faith. Danielle, thank you so much for taking time to be with me today.
It's been such a pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. It's so great to be with you. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Danielle. It was shorter than I intended. I ran out of time. And so I'll have Danielle back in order to discuss more fully the important work of Encounter and Encounter Ministries. When I look at movements, things that are happening in the church today, where I actually see transformation happening, right? Like let's focus not so much on activity going into something, right? There's a lot of churn, a lot of energy can be put into things. But if they don't lead to the outcome of actual transformation, then you wonder if there's fruit. See, there's a difference between fruits and results. Like, for instance, there's a lot of energy put today into developing social media channels. Tons and tons of social media, quote-unquote, Catholic influencers are developing podcasts and video channels and Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, lots and lots of online sources. And if you take a look at, like, let's call it the numbers, the number of subscribers, the number of views, the number of comments, you might stop and say, or the number of videos produced, you could say, wow, look at all the fruit. And that's not fruit. Fruit is actual lives changed, right? The Catechism in the Catholic Church talks about the idea of fruit in terms of things like the growth in someone's moral character. They talk about fruit. The Catechism talks about fruit as in the gifts and fruits of the Spirit being made manifest and maturing in someone's life. It's conversion. Fruit is transformation. At the end of the day, isn't that what we want? What we want for our lives isn't just a lot of input, a lot of stuff that is happening. It's the output, it's the outcome, it's changed lives. And so even when we talk about just doing things like, look at all the prayer activities I'm doing. Look at all the spiritual activities I'm doing. The real question is, what are those things leading towards? Are they leading towards a transformation of my mind? I'm seeing life in a new way. Are they leading towards a transformation of my attitudes, that I'm relating to the things in my life in a new way? Are they leading towards new behaviors, where I'm giving up the things of the flesh and I'm taking on the realm of the Spirit? That's what matters. And so when I scan the horizon of what's happening in America and say, where in the Catholic Church is there fruit? Is there changed lives? Really and truly, I point to just a handful of things. There are just a handful of what I would call movements that are in fact generating fruit. And I think when you hear me describe them, you'll be able to say, oh, got it, right? So for instance, I would say that Encounter Ministries is one of them. And I'll talk about that one last. But it is, for me, without question, one of the powerful ways that God is awakening and making the Catholic Church, awakening the Catholic Church, awakening Catholics to live out our life of faith at a whole different level. There's something transformative about Catholics, about Catholic lives who get involved with Encounter Ministries. And Encounter Ministries isn't, that's not the be all end all. That's standing in front of the movement of God awakening in the church and stirring into flame in the church, these gifts and graces of Pentecost that have been given to us in our confirmation. And they are, in fact, enabling us to have an impact in the lives of others that is radical, that changes lives, that awakens people to the power of a relationship with God and of living as a Catholic. Like, you get involved with Encounter, and that's going to happen for your life. You may be healed in dimensions that you weren't even aware existed. Your sense of, again, identity, that was one of the things Danielle talked about, that sense of, I am a child of God. And next time she's on, I want to explore that more fully, because when we have had that encounter with Jesus, where we sense, when we have this real sensitivity, this inner conviction and certitude that the person of Jesus Christ, the living Lord, the one who is God, sees me and knows me. I'm known. I'm personally known by Jesus. He is gazing upon me with love, with a longing to have me live in a way that would flow from that, the peace and the joy and the fulfillment and the abundance, the sense of meaning. And that gives me a mission. That gives me, again, Benedict says that gives life a new horizon and a definitive direction when you've had that encounter with Jesus. And Encounter Ministries, it begins from that place of encounter with Jesus. But then Jesus says, look, when I ascend to heaven, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the one who is God, the Holy Spirit, to come and dwell in you. And God, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, when you can have that inner sensitivity that God, the Holy Spirit is living in you and is going to prompt you, and not just prompt you, like nudge you to do this or avoid that, to say yes to this or no to that, to speak this way or to be silent this way, to act in this way or to hold back in an action, right? All of that. And then to be available to be this vessel where God himself is going to use you like a funnel, like a vessel to pour his life into the world. That is amazing. And that happens in Encounter Ministries. And when I just stop and say, where else are you going to see the Holy Spirit move with such power, right? That where do you see the Holy Spirit moving with power, where it manifests itself in praise and worship, people singing with this sense of exuberance and enthusiasm, they're giving themselves over to a praise of God, a worship of God in song. And where do they see this alertness and expectancy for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to manifest as they gather together in prayer, and then as they minister together in prayer? The charismatic renewal is a place like that. That was, again, a movement established by God, and it made its way into the Catholic Church in the 60s, 1967, and at Duquesne University is one of the the famous hallmark places. I don't necessarily think that was the beginning. It's a place that has gotten the most attention in Catholic circles in America, and that's fine. But the Holy Spirit awakening the church to move in this sense of, I'm going to use this word, anointing, that there's a spiritual power that is part of our life of faith. Please, please, Catholic brothers and sisters, you were meant to live with that sense of spiritual power. You were meant to live day to day with that sense of God's power at work in you. And that's not just going to happen. That is going to happen when you have, in fact, been led and taught and moved and helped, guided, aided to be able to experience that that sense of I can learn more about the Holy Spirit. I can learn about this intimate personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. That'll happen in encounter. That's one. And I'll circle back to encounter at the end. I said I wasn't going to talk a lot about it first, but I want to give you some other examples. It's not only in Encounter Ministries, but it is there. And boy, that's worth exploring. There are other places there where the hand of God is at work in really powerful ways, changing lives. And I say another one is classical schools. Classical schools rooted in faith. And I'm going to broaden that, not only in Catholic faith, but in Christian faith. And I've seen it. I have seen how the Lord has moved through classical faith-based schools, classical Catholic schools like Court of Christ Academy in Coeur d'Alene, the Chesterton Academy in Spokane, Aquinas Classical Academy in Bremerton, that these classical methodologies are way more than just, oh, we are educating kids today in a different mode. No, there is that this classical schools have become a magnet for intentionality, that in order for your kid to grow and flourish in those schools, there's a degree of I'm intentionally living my life as a Catholic, and I'm going to orient my life and my kids' lives around coming to discover and to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want them to do that in an environment where there are other kids who are coming from other families who are also intentionally living their faith. And we're going to expose these kids to a methodology of education that will emphasize things that have been left behind almost entirely and almost assuredly in almost the totality of other schools, not only public, but also in Catholic schools that are typically part of diocesan systems. Things like writing in cursive, things like having school uniforms at the high school level, things like having policies around use of technology that drives it to the minimum, that leaves phones out of the hands of kids during the school days and has an increased awareness and even school policies around promoting a sense of strong limitations and stewardship of access to technology, internet-based communication devices, as well as smartphones, those portals from hell. And I'll tell you, classical Christian schools and classical Catholic schools, it's not a guarantee, but they have done such an amazing job of helping kids to grow and flourish. Now, these schools by nature are much smaller, but they're based on helping these kids be disciples and grow as disciples. And I could go on and on about this, but I just want to say it has borne fruit. It is bearing fruit. And if you have kids and you're trying to figure out where to send your kids to school, and your goal is to help these kids grow and flourish as Catholics, statistically, the best place to send them are classical schools. And I want to say this, it's going to get exponentially more difficult. Honestly, by September, it will be, let's call it at least, a significant degree more difficult, and within a year, exponentially more difficult. Because of what? Because of AI. because of the way that AI is going to infiltrate most school systems. Most school systems are going to have AI so dominant that it's going to impact how kids are learning. It's going to diminish their capacity to learn. And what classical schools focus on as goals are to teach kids how to think, teach kids how to learn, and to teach kids and foster in kids a love of learning. And the classical methodology with a liberal arts focus, where they're exploring the classics, and they're doing so in situations where there's encounters or dialogue and rich communication happening among the students. And there's an environment that has a sense of modesty, a sense of propriety, a sense of nobility, a sense of the pursuit of Jesus Christ as your ideal in the classroom, striving to live a life of holiness. That's bearing fruit. And that's worth pursuing. And typical traditional Catholic schools, I would say traditional, like the standard Catholic schools that are happening today in most dioceses, they're not fostering vocations, and they're not fostering, actually, frankly, a vibrant Catholic faith. Most kids that are coming out of Catholic high schools, diocesan Catholic high schools, are not practicing their faith. They're losing their faith. They're walking away from their faith. The faith isn't the central aspect of the identity of these schools. And when it is used in language and on paper and on mission statements, oftentimes you'll find a form of Catholicism that is a watered down or even anti-Catholic version, a twisted version of Catholicism that is not fostering fervor and faith. It's not fostering holiness and vocations. That's happening in these smaller settings. So just pay attention to the fruits. You pay attention to the fruits, that's where it's happening. Okay, where's another place where I see real fruits? I would say it's in the recovery of reverence at Mass. And this is often happening from the laity. And there are a lot of priests who have like noticed it and have welcomed it and have like shepherded it along so that the lay faithful who are, and it's often younger lay faithful who are attempting to live their faith, they are striving to live with the maximum degree of reverence when they attend Mass and when they have their kids present at Mass. And that's a beautiful thing. Where that has come from in large measure is from the traditional Latin Mass. Traditional Latin Mass communities, even though there are challenges, even though there are flaws, even though there are difficulties, even though there are attitudinal and mindset things that I would look at and say, my goodness, there's a great need, almost a desperate need for a sense of encounter and openness to the Holy Spirit. And I've had these conversations with leadership in the traditional Latin Mass communities. But apart from that, the very manner of celebrating the sacred liturgy, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, fosters a recovery of reverence. And honestly, I it seems to me that priests who are not like attuned to this are missing out on the fundamental importance of reverence in handing on the faith and in fostering faith. I say this very humbly, just as I have walked with families for 35 years in ministry, 36 years in ministry, and I spent 20 years in leadership at the national and even international level in the field of Catholic evangelization, there were certain things that we just got wrong. We just got them wrong. And the biggest one, or one of the big ones, was definitely connected to a missing of that sense of reverence and settling instead for relevance. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you in a minute when I come back. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. In the first part of the program, I interview Danielle Curl from Encounter Ministries. There's an intensive, a summer intensive happening on August the 1st and the 2nd at Holy Family Catholic Church in Kirkland. And it can change your life. It'll be a weekend that'll change your life. And I just encourage you to check out encounterministries.us to learn more about it. And again, I'll have Danielle on as it gets closer. All I can say, and again, I shared this with you. What was my Father's Day activity? It was have the kids together, and I talked to them about the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Experiencing a personal Pentecost in my life, it's changed everything. And all I can say is thank God for the mercy of marrying a woman who was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that she lived her life as a Catholic Christian and had experienced this baptism in the Holy Spirit. It has opened us in us a capacity to be able to not only recognize spiritual warfare and to be able to come against it with the united front, but to be able to seek the Lord, especially when times were toughest, when we were in conflict and fighting, to be able to ask forgiveness and give forgiveness, to be able to pray for and seek healing of any wounds that we've caused each other, or to be able to carry crosses together. Rather than bumping up against each other, to be able to walk together when we had heavy crosses to bear in our married life, that baptism in the Holy Spirit was that the Holy Spirit was alive in us. And I want that for you. I want you to be able to access the power of God that He intends for you. You don't just have a vacuum cleaner plugged in. You have to have it turned on. And that's what Encounter Ministries does. That's what the Catholic Charismatic Renewal does. It gives you a place to go where you can learn about this baptism in the Holy Spirit, how to seek it, how to experience the release of it, how to move in it, how to grow in it. I was in the seminary for 5 years, two of the best seminaries in the country at the time when the Catholic Charismatic Renewal was almost at its height in the whole world, back in the mid and late 80s. And you know what? There were only like two other charismatics that I met in Boston when I was there, and two or three other charismatics that I met in Rome when I was there. And charismatics, I mean this, Catholic guys who had been not just like were aware of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, but had experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit and had changed their lives, right? So the great majority of priests and bishops have only had the barest amount of tangential experience with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and often end up with misunderstandings and misconceptions because they talk to someone that has said, oh, I'm part of the renewal, and all of a sudden that becomes the renewal. It's like, yeah, that is not the renewal. That's a broken person who happened to experience some healing and life and joy, and now they're talking about it in their own broken way. And you know what? That becomes identified with the renewal. What a sadness. What a deception. That's just what faulty discernment. Anyways, coming back around to traditional Latin Mass as this incredible gift, it was recovering reverence. And I, having been involved in the work of evangelization, even though baptized in the Holy Spirit, I focused so much on making the message relevant to the people that we were speaking to. Now, that's a principle of communication. You want to speak in a way that they can understand. However, there was a gap in my thinking, and it was something, it wasn't just my thinking, it wasn't something that I heard really across the board. This didn't really come back into focus until the mid-2000s, when there was an increasing resurgence of and growth of traditional Latin Mass communities. And I don't even know really when it dawned on me, but it wasn't until really the last, say, 8 to 10 years, the power and importance of recovering reverence. See, the majority of Catholics are probably never going to go to the traditional Latin Mass. They're going to go to the Novus Ordo, the Mass that you know when you go to a typical Catholic parish, right? And unless God brings about some kind of change, Mass in English is going to be where you go to church. Okay, fine. But if it lacks reverence, it will not foster faith. And in fact, it just might choke off faith, diminish a true understanding of faith. And so it has become incumbent upon laity who have this awareness to say, I need to do what I need to do to raise my kid to become aware of the dimension of the supernatural, the dimension of the divine, the dimension of the holy. You see, the dimension of God, the realm of the heavenly, the realm of the supernatural, the realm of the divine, the realm of the holy, is not natural. It's not simply you see it around you. And yet, it's available to you because God, who is the infinite, perfect, supernatural being, created nature. So created nature, the world that we're actually living in, can be a conduit, a point of contact, a point of breakthrough to the divine, to the realm of the holy. And when you come into contact with God, you have a different experience, right? I talked about that in Revelation 1. He fell down as though dead. It was Moses coming down from the mountains. He spent 40 days with the Lord, fasting and praying and communing with God. And when he came down, his face was so radiant, it was overwhelming in its brightness that shone from him. He had to put on a veil. It was too much for the people. The fruit of union with God is this radiance. Okay, I want that for my kids. I want my kids to know that when they go to Mass, it's not just a gathering of people who have the same belief. It's not just a fellowship of believers. Yeah, it is that too. But it's not like we're gathering for a picnic and gathering for a softball game or a conference. No, we're gathering to worship. We're gathering to offer a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We're gathering together to offer what Jesus commanded at the Last Supper, do this in remembrance of me. We're honoring his command. And when we walk through those doors into consecrated ground, it's consecrated. It's set apart for a holy purpose. It's set apart for a heavenly purpose. It's set apart for a purpose for as a place where the divine, where the heavenly, where God is showing up. God is showing up at Mass in a way that is the summit. It's like Moses climbing the mountain and seeing God face to face. You're not going to get any more profound encounter with the divine, with God, with the heavenly, with the supernatural than you will at Mass. And you know what that means? We ought to be different. We ought to comport ourselves, compose ourselves, carry ourselves, be differently in that space. And frankly, we're not. Frankly, the majority of Catholics, we do not act like we are in the presence of the infinite, divine, eternal God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-perfect, all-holy. And he is there for us to worship. And we've come into contact with the billions and billions of angels and saints that have been created and have been saved and are now around the throne of God, worshiping him in perfect praise and thanks. And we are drawn into living, intimate, profound, mysterious contact with that reality through Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. We are there to worship God. And that better impact us from the moment we walk in the doors, from how we dress to when we come in, we ought to kneel. We ought to pray. We ought to be begging the Lord to prepare us to enter into divine worship, heavenly worship from our stance and our posture and our place on earth. We ought to be sitting attentively in the scriptures as they're proclaimed, because the living God is going to speak a word to me in my life. When we cry out, I confess to Almighty God, it's because we recognize the holiness of God, and that reveals our own sin. We cry out God's glory because we recognize that God is here and we are glorifying him with angels and saints taking a heavenly song and singing it on earth. At the gospel, we stand because it's Christ who proclaims, and then it just goes on from there. But then at the high point, when we go forward to receive communion, I want my kids to know that this is not just a piece of bread. I want my kids to have a holy reverence, a holy fear of God, that they are about to come into a place of the crossing over of heaven to earth, the living presence of the glorified Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, is going to cross over from heaven to earth, from the heavenly realm to me in Holy Communion. And I want that to be different than receiving a piece of bread. And so I have encouraged my kids to kneel, to receive on the tongue, and to receive from a priest. And I do that in order to highlight the difference, the distance between that act and almost any other act they will do in their lives of faith. That's something that ought to be supported. All right, God bless.